Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Professor Margaret Mutu to the show. Margaret has chaired Te Rūnanga Iwi o Ngāti Kahu for a couple of decades now and has sat on the National Iwi Chairs Forum, where she chairs Te Pau Tikanga, a most important body that's been carrying out incredible work looking at how well New Zealand is complying with the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and most importantly, leading the discussion on Mā Tike Mai Aotearoa, so the Independent Working Group on Constitutional Transformation. Kia ora, Margaret, and welcome.
Kia ora, Donna. Lovely to hear from you.
Margaret, I had the most unpleasant experience this morning. I was dropping my mokos off to their kura, and as I came to the top of the hill, there was this humongous billboard in blue, and it said, no to co-governance. And it was an act billboard, and it totally took me by surprise. Firstly, how huge it was, and the amount of money that must have cost to put that up. And just the simplicity of its message, really, I just felt normalising the anti-co-governance, which I take for anti-Māori thinking, normalising the whole anti-Māori thinking that went into the vilification of Nanaia Mahuta, and using that as a drumbeat for this election. And as I've seen polls rise from, they were 0.5%, under 1% in 2017, 0.67% the election after that, and now they've shot up to 12%, I think they are. And what they've done is a technique that I'm quite familiar with when I was in the party, which is that they go around and they stay at people's homes. They stay overnight and they get people to invite their closest friends and their relations in, and they have a little ahui where they talk about their policies. And they've been doing this since the last election, 3 years, where they've been going around with the anti-co-governance corridor. And I thought, who better to deconstruct what they're doing in terms of our desire and our movement towards constitutional change than yourself? How concerned are you with what's happening?
There is, Donna, just such a huge amount of both misinformation and disinformation around this thing called co-governance. Now, my understanding around the country is that most people don't really understand what this thing that's been labelled co-governance actually is. And what it is that, you know, we, the iwi Māori, have been in this country for, you know, over 1,000 years, 1,500 years, some of us 2,000 years, our ancestors have been here. We have accumulated a huge amount of knowledge about what works and what does not work in this country in terms of the natural resources that are here. So when Pākehā came along with their doctrine of discovery that said that whites were superior to us and knew everything about the world, and we watched them very deliberately do huge amounts of damage to Papatūānuku, to our Earth Mother, and we kept saying to them, you can't keep doing this, you can't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, Donna, they just didn't listen. Because that's that white supremacist notion that they know everything about everything. But even those Pākehās there began to realise that the damage that they had done was substantial. And now you're in a mode where you're trying to fix it all up. And when you're trying to fix up something like this, there's been so much devastation done to our waterways, to our lands, to our forests, to all our natural resources, our seas, our fisheries, they've all been devastated. And if you want to try and fix that up, you need the best brains and the best knowledge you've got from everywhere. And a key point in that is our, you know, over 1,000 years of knowledge that we have on what works and what does not work. Now, you know, they call it co-governance because you dare to bring in the expertise that's there amongst Māori, amongst Tangata Whenua. Now, why on earth you would be scared of that is probably because you're scared of what you don't know about. And it's this notion about having to control everything. That's what comes out of the doctrine of discovery, out of white supremacy, that they must control everything. But if they control everything, they end up managing everything out of ignorance and out of this extractive notion where you can just keep extracting from Papatūānuku. They've learnt now, of course, that you can't keep extracting from Papatūānuku. She will fall over, or she won't fall over. She will take her own revenge. And if you're not understanding that that's what you're seeing these days, with the flooding, with the fires, with the cyclone bowlers, with all of the stuff that's happening to us, well then, people, you're living on another planet. But in the real world here, there is no doubt that the huge damage that's being done, including to our waters and our waters, you know, it's common sense, Donna. Without water, we're all gone. And if you keep polluting your water, you will be gone. And for decades and decades, governments, local government, have known that they had to fix up the management of water. And that came down to the three waters, the drinking water, the wastewater, and the stormwater.
Yeah,
and Nanaia had the common sense to go to those who knew, who had the expertise, and say, we need you. We need you to help us fix up this disaster. But the white supremacists who keep on this mantra that only whites know what to do, Māori are totally ignorant, they do themselves and everybody else such huge damage when they think that their ignorance is superior to over a thousand years of knowledge. It's crazy. Yeah. And what they've done to Nanaia, that's doctrine of discovery stuff, Donna. That's that white supremacy stuff, which says any non-white who indicates that they are knowledgeable and cleverer than you, you've got to destroy them. Good on Nanaia for not kowtowing to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, Margaret, you've just reminded me. The last time that I had a close discussion with you was, I can't remember, it was years and years and years ago, when I think it was the university were targeting you. Was that right?
Oh, yes, yes. That was 2011, I think that was.
If you haven't been targeted and put through the mill, you haven't been fighting hard enough. That's all I took out of what happened to you. Oh, my God, I could not believe the specious, excuses that they gave for why they were dragging you over the coals. But I remember you fought like hell, and I came in to help you, and we did the trick. A long time ago. But you know, that is the white supremacy thing, only they know. And when wahine like ourselves put our hand up and say, excuse me, I'm sorry, but what you're doing is wrong, then this doctrine, you are so right, this doctrine of discovery, the underpinning of the idea that they have a God, that God has given them the right to kill, to maim, to enslave, to convert, to treat with our land, to actually murder, the license to murder. And, you know, while they're not murdering us openly in terms of our health statistics, our incarceration rates, our child uplift rates, you know, there's murder by subtlety, as all the reports are showing. But, you know, one of the things that it occurred to me as well was that the Vatican repudiated the doctrine. Why didn't the Labor government? I mean, they've been in now a few years. I mean, what happened?
So we have been demanding of the government that they repudiate the doctrine of discovery for at least 5-6 years now. And the first time we formally wrote to them and said to them, you must do this, the answer that came back, and the Labor government always sends their answer back through their Māori MPs. And I find this quite, upset. It's deliberately designed to upset us, but it's quite disingenuous that they do it like this. However, they came back and said, this is not a priority. And we kept going at them. And then when, and I remember the date that the Vatican did it, it was the 30th of March this year. And all the media coverage in Europe, in Canada, about the fact that the Vatican had finally repudiated the doctrine of discovery. And there was hardly any media coverage in this country. The Human Rights Commission put out a press statement saying that this was a huge step forward for Indigenous people, that the Pope had issued this statement. So we wrote to Chris Hipkins from National Iwi Chairs Forum and said, now there is no reason whatsoever why the New Zealand government can't follow suit and repudiate the doctrine of discovery. And once again, Chris Hipkins didn't answer it himself. He gave it to Kitty Tapu Allen to do it. And Kitty Tapu was obviously instructed to say the same thing. It is not a priority. And that is something that National Iwi Chairs Forum has been scathing of the government, because if you will not repudiate the doctrine of discovery, it means that you condone the racism and the destruction and dispossession of our people. That it's open for you to say, okay, so it's okay for politicians like the ACT Party, like our own whanaungas in New Zealand First, and like some of those in National as well, to be very, very racist, and it is okay. If you do not repudiate the doctrine of discovery, you're saying it's okay to be racist against Māori, because that's what the doctrine of discovery allows.
I mean, it is such a fundamental argument, and I was so thrilled that Iwi Chairs had taken up that struggle, because it bears, you know, whichever government is in, and that includes if National is in, I think we just have to step up, because as you said, the claims, I read the ACT the ACT Party policy on co-governance. And I mean, honestly, I was so boiling mad, because it's so full of lies. It's misleading. Yes. But I think it must be deliberately misleading, because they can't be that, you know, the stuff that's out there. You look at what we've got since Labor came in. The first thing they did was review everything in sight. So we've now got all of these reports in Oranga Tamariki, in education and health, numerous ones in health, that are all showing the same thing, that the key problem in all of the governments and their delivery to us is racism, And unless you get a national plan of action, that racism is going to continue. And where you have a situation where between 87 and 90% of bureaucrats are white, our people are faced with wall-to-wall whiteness, with people who've been brought up on the doctrine of discovery, on their natural superiority to Māori, the natural superiority of English, and, you know, all of the bad statistics about Māori that just reinforce their ideas. And so ACT's and National's policy of let's go hard, let's imprison more of them. I mean, how stupid can you get? But it just seems like their stupidity has a purpose. And, you know, while they say, you know, one person, one vote, in actual what they mean is let's keep things exactly as they are. Every time I saw a sign, a National Party sign, saying stop Three Waters, what it meant to me was we will stop Three Waters so we can continue to pollute. We can continue not to fix up the water infrastructure. And we can stop Māori having a say. And I think, what an ugly sentiment to actually put up there that you're proud of stopping something that's so positive. You know, and same with the Paiora Act, that set up the Māori Health Authority. Apparently, ACT says they're going to do away with it. For God's sake, they've had over 130 years where they've run health, and every review that's happened in the last 20 years have said it's racist, it's malfunctional, and it's a waste of money, it's not working for Māori. For heaven's sake, give Māori a chance. Exactly. Oh, anyway, so I'm getting wound up here, Margaret, but it really is...
we both are.
It's been one of those days. But, you know, and the other thing that struck me about ACT's policy was there were three things that they were going to do away with. Three Waters, the Māori Health Authority, and Section 7AA. And how ironic that just today, at 12 o'clock today, Oranga Tamariki released the latest review, one of the litany of reviews which has shown the cruelty and racism towards Māori by Oranga Tamariki itself. Now, you know, ever since John Rangiho wrote, went around and looked at all of these social welfare institutions and said, you've got to shut them down, you've got to devolve to Māori because they're so racist, they can't be fixed. Every single review they've had, several changes of legislation, it says the same thing. And what do we get? 2023, September 2023, and we have the latest that was done by Mike Bush, the new Deputy Secretary of Oranga Tamariki, just highlighting the cruelty and racism towards Māori. And this is ACT going to do away with Section 7AA, which it says explicitly that they have to abide by the Te Tiriti and, you know, and devolve, basically, trust in Māori to do it ourselves. So, you know, I just thought it was not a bad day. Firstly, I got this bloody driving up with my locals in the back making a hell of a racket, and I see this no co-governance. Then to hear that the latest Oranga Tamariki report is coming out, then to read at 4 o'clock today that ACT is going to do away with the Māori Health Authority, and I'm thinking, my God, if National ACT get in, then it behoves us all, and particularly iwi chairs, to really look at how we can deal with this strategically with our leadership. How do we support our leadership to have the, you know, to, well, just to support them? I don't know. I'll ask you, what can, you know, ordinary Māori like myself, what can we do to help?
This is where the constitutional transformation stuff comes in, and the number of times that I've been asked, you know, over the years to go and talk to our people about the difficulties we're having, whether it's with the treaty claim settlements or whether it's Oranga Tamariki or whether it's whatever. And then the question, what is the solution? And the solution is constitutional transformation, where we take back control of our own lives. So we have that report that was written almost entirely by Moana Jackson. I did about four pages of the 120-odd pages, that sets out how we can just start with our whānau and our hapū and our marae, start there and start planning ourselves. How are we going to take back control of our lives? National Iwi Chairs Forum has a project we're running right now called Whānau Rangatiratanga, where they go around and sit down with whānau and say, if you could make your own decision for your own whānau tomorrow, what would it look like? What would you do in the next year? What would you do in the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? And that's all coming out of the Mātike Mai Aotearoa Constitutional Transformation Report. Because, Donna, what we need to do now is bring together all the various organisations throughout the Māori world to say, how are we going to structure the rangatiratanga sphere where Māori will make decisions for Māori? We'll leave the kāwanatanga to do their own thing for their people, because that's what Te Tiriti said. Kāwanatanga, Crown, you can make your decisions for your people, but you cannot make decisions for Māori. That is for Māori to make our own decisions for our own lives. And so in that sphere that we run, that we know very well how it runs on our marae, we're very strict about our laws on the marae and how they apply. Build it out of that. Build it out of what you know works on your marae, in your whānau. Take back control. Don't let the Pākehā dictate to you. Now, I can talk like this, Donna, because my own whānau, under the directions of our own kaumātua, about 30 years ago, when we were pulling ourselves apart because the local council was going to steal our land, our whenua tūpuna from us for unpaid rates. We were all chewing at each other. And our kaumātua said, why do you worry about the Pākehā? It's your land. Hang on to it. Stay on it. Make your lives on it and just forget about the Pākehā. And that's exactly what we've done, Donna. It helped that there was legislation in there, the Ture Whenua Māori Act, that allowed us. It helped that we got a sympathetic court judge, Māori land court judge, who just said to the council, leave these people alone. And we just got on and did our thing. So we make our own decisions about our own lives on our own whenua. And we build our houses. We don't ask a Pākehā for permission to do anything. We build our houses. We look after each other. We have our kui and kaumātua that the young ones look after. The mokos are there as well. And you know what, Donna? We're fine. We mightn't be as rich as the Pākehā down the road, but we're fine. And we do not have any Pākehā telling us what to do. That is us exercising our tinoranga teratanga and upholding te tiriti and he hakaputanga as our tūpuna had taught us to do. So, people, we can do this. We can take back control. What our leaders have to do is wrest the resources out of the Pākehā that have stolen them all from us in order to make, to give our people the resources so that we can not have to be constantly struggling, not having to be constantly fighting with a Pākehā organisation. So I look to our professionals, I look to our doctors, I look to our lawyers, I look to, you know, all of us that you and I have trained over the years and say, come on, you guys, you need to step up and get these resources back for our people so that we can make our own decisions about our own lives and make sure that those oranga tamariki, those government departments have no say in what we do in our everyday lives. And Moana Jackson wanted that done by 2040. So it's not something we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to have to work on it slowly, carefully, get there by 2040.
You know, I do feel that we're at a tipping point, though. You know, I was at the Iwi Chairs a few years ago because Tātaibu had asked me to go along and speak on a particular matter, and I wasn't that impressed. But more recently, I've been attending, and I really do notice a seismic shift in the attitude of the leadership. Seismic. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. When I used to do my constitutional transformation reports, I could see the eyes glazing over. They don't glaze over quite so much these days.
No. I just think it's riveting. Do you know? Absolutely. Whether it's on housing, you know, whether it's on, I mean, I spoke on energy, the need for Māori to own our own solar, to develop our own national network, and I got an incredible, I mean, people in fact, I could not believe it. It was the openness to, we can do this. Let's do it. Let's just get on with it.
Yeah.
And we've been working collaboratively, trying to get some change together in forestry. And, you know, even working across the bar in a number of organisations, it's been terrific. But, you know, we're going to really need Iwi Chairs to manage working together on policy because, you know, just in one of the things that I've been really put a lot of energy into has been the opportunity that climate forestry presents for Māori because you need rubbish land, you know, class 6, 7 and 8 because you don't want to use farmland or good land that's good for horticulture. And it's an opportunity that's worth about $16 billion. And a study has been done by that's coming out shortly showing that not only is it worth $16 billion to owners, landowners of marginal land, that there's a $15 billion cost to Māori alone, to Māori, if that opportunity is taken away. And only today, the other piece of really bad news that hit me was that they've decided the government, without notice, saying that anyone who's in the ETS, who's involved in climate forestry already, which is, you know, a hell of a lot of Māori, because we're the main foresters of permanent forestry, you know, rotational forestry where you cut it down, that's mainly owned 86% by overseas interests, but climate forestry, that's us. And their interest, the fees, my God, Margaret, are going up 4,700%. 4,700% on a hectare of land. Can I believe it? The majority of participants, I put a submission in, said they're opposed to those charges. It's the government agency making a profit. It's mainly Māori making a profit off. It's going to cost Māori them about $7 million a year in extra fees on the land that we've got planted already. That's $7 million that our landowners cannot afford to pay. I'm like gobsmacked. My God, what a day I've had. Jesus.
And a lot of those have to, or well, at least some of those from the ETS are to do with settlements. And those settlements guarantee. Yeah. But you see, that shows you just how dishonest and dishonorable Pākehās are. The settlements are a joke. They keep changing them. They keep violating them. You know, but this is the doctrine of discovery coming back at us over and over again. The white man is superior. He can do whatever he likes, and to hell with those he hurts. Well, you know, he just can't keep doing it.
One of your young chappies from the north, Penitoe Kleskovich, had estimated that something like, I think it was 30 million of the carbon units that have been held by post-settlement organisations, Māori, had been wiped off their estate. 30 yes. million. 30 yes. million. And yes. do you know, my brother-in-law, who sits on the Kawaka Guava's trust, didn't know that there was a relationship between the loss of millions of their value and the ETS changes introduced by the Climate Commission and James Shaw. You know, they weren't connecting the dots. And, you know, we try to get around to let everyone know, but, you know, it's 30 million on our estate. We cannot afford this. We are under such attack. So, you know, I'm looking, Margaret, to every chairs to really help us all through. And I agree with you that constitutional change, you know, when I have been writing Māori Sovereignty 2, which is my view of what can we learn, what have I learned in the last 50 years? And mainly what I've learned is what I've done that's failed. Because in the failures, there's been a message. And in our failure, there's a message. And I think it just alerts us to the perils and the waters ahead. And it just seems to me the only way we're going to make a difference is through constitutional change. And our job is to get ready for that, you know, prepare this nation. You know, only 12% of voting act with all their racist policies. Maybe 5% going to go with New Zealand First, with Winston saying we're not Indigenous people and doing a very anti-Māori campaign that makes 17%. And probably a few more in National and Labour. But they're a minority. And I really feel that we've crushed them under 20%. That means that 80% of New Zealanders are actually open to the idea of constitutional change. And, you know, what you say is right. I was so excited to hear Bill Hamilton talk about the consultation that's going to be happening, you know, the whānau rangatiratanga, asking families what does it mean to you? Because they know all right that that's the message from whānau ora, from kohanga. I mean, you know, the Crown, at their wit's end, they could not get Māori to go to preschool, to kindergartens and early child education. Kohanga come along. And, you know, within a couple of years, 90% of all Māori are there. So what do? We've got 800 kohanga. They change the rules so that we have to go under the Ministry of Education, but change the criteria, slash 400 closed within 2 years, and we are still limping along at 400. Same happened with Kura. Every time we get successful, and you look at Kura with their NCEA results, rivaling Pākehā, absolute outstanding. Look at Wānanga. Look what Rongo Wetere did with Wānanga Aotearoa. Outstanding. He just opened up second chance education for our wahine. And what do? They vilified him and drove him out of the country. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy road. But I think these are lessons that we can learn. And I think doing it systematically, like you and Bill and the Pōtikanga are doing, bit by bit, going around to the rohe, involving
That's
our
right.
local iwi and our hapū. That's exactly how we're going to get there by 2040. I agree with you. It can be done. It's doable. And the fact that you've got that vision. Look here, you remember when, what's his name, Katawiniata started Whakatipuranga 2000?
That's right.
You remember that? They had no deal. Look at them now, because the man
yes.
had a vision.
You They've got Ōtaki as a bilingual town. Gee.
Yeah, and look, at Moana Jackson had a vision, and we're going to be the beneficiaries of that vision.
That's
I mean,
right.
I think, you know, you've cheered me up, Margaret. I had a very gloomy start to the day.
Happy to do so, Donna. Happy to do so.
Oh, lovely to talk to you, Margaret, and I'll see you at the Iwi Cares in Christchurch.
Yes, yes, lovely to see you then too. Okay, Donna.
Oh, people, well, I was cheered up by Margaret, I can say that. But in talking with Andrew and, you know, really 4,500 Māori jobs to be lost, you know, this was a big day. This was a very big day, and we did not win. We are on the back foot, and the fact that it was a Māori minister, Pēni Henare, that signed off on these ETS fees, that, as Andrew's just said, is going to cost us at least $6 million a year, $30 million to all forestry owners, climate forestry owners, but $6 million added to our state. You know, and you know that our landowners don't have that sort of money. You know, it's just such a sad day. So I'm ending the program not too good. Fortunately, I've got my two mokos to snuggle up to when I go to bed tonight, and that will cheer me up. But until next week, and my God, hopefully it's a bit of a better week than today and to this last week. So good night, everyone. Ka kite.